Radio K, Real College Radio. This is Off the Record, and we just had Lunch Duchess live in our studio. And now I am joined by Catherine, who does vocals and occasionally drums, and Sam, who plays guitar for Lunch Duchess. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So we are going to start things off with our Minnesota-themed question segment. This is Don't You Know?
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, hot dish.
So where are you from and what is it known for?
I'm from Massachusetts, and it's known for people who are mean when they drive.
I'm from Minneapolis, and I guess Minneapolis is known for all the lakes, all the water. A lot of cool-looking lakes out here.
And then what was the first show you ever saw in Minneapolis or Minnesota?
I think a show at the Triple Rock with a band that no longer exists. I think it was called Crimes. Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, I've grown up here my whole life, so I think the first show I ever saw was when my mom took me to see American Idol live, which was...
That's a big one.
I know, it was a big one.
Was this back with the original lineup, or was it one of the...
It was, I think, one of the later seasons. It was like, do you remember Bo Bice? It was that season when Bo Bice was on there. He's my dude.
And then if you could perform anywhere in the state, it does not have to be a venue. Where would it be?
Probably in the middle of Lake Superior, but still in the Minnesota part of it. Yeah, on a raft.
I want to perform an acoustic, like a solo acoustic show, sitting on top of that big cherry spoon right on top. Well, maybe there's a bunch of people in the water floating around in floaties and like tubes and stuff.
Sam, shockingly enough, I have not had that answer yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems really obvious.
You beat them to the punch. And then Apollonia 6 or Babes in Toyland?
I don't know the first one, so I'll say the second one.
I'm a huge Babes in Toyland fan, so.
Yeah, Apollonia 6 was one of Prince's many side projects.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
I was going to say, if it's easier, Prince
I'm
or
about
Bob
to be,
Dylan.
Like, thrown out of the state of Minnesota right now.
You know, I was warned to make them all iconic, but I felt like it fit to do two girl bands, and...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm a girl.
You know, that's my requirement. They go, there's going to be chicks, talk about chicks. That's what makes people comfortable. So where is your favorite place to cry for fun in the city?
My bedroom.
How about you, Sam?
I like crying down by the river. There's a lot of water, and I just fill the river with my tears, and I just chill by that river of tears, and I cry, and I sometimes will moan, too.
So watch out for that sound in and about Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
We will be able to spot you.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'll
then
be able to hear me.
Exactly. And then speaking of crying for fun, you just released your album, Crying for Fun.
Whoop, whoop.
What does it mean to you to cry for fun?
It means to even just set aside some time to cry if you're feeling really stressed out or other negative emotions are hounding you. In the last album, it was more like, oh, this is a spontaneous flow of emotion that's coming from me that I can't stop. And this one is more like, this is a healthy thing for me to do sometimes. And just pretending that it's really fun to do. Because you do feel better after crying. Or at least I do.
Totally. To me, it's about finding that moment where you can have that sort of cathartic release and get in touch with your humanity. You know, put on like that song that brings you to a certain place, or like cry during a movie or something, but just like it's a release, you know. Crying to me is important because it's just like it's a release of emotion, it's a release of tension, a lot of things like that, and also I'm a baby.
For all those that can't see, we can most definitely confirm that we just brought a small
child
into the room.
I'm in a high chair right now.
So cute. Mm-hmm. Look at those little cheeks.
And then, so with crying for fun, what do you do when you're not crying for fun?
Not much. No, I don't know.
A day is basically booked out just with crying.
Yeah, a lot of crying. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's my job. I just started school to be a therapist, actually. And I'm just going to probably try to change my name before I start practicing so people don't look up all my songs about messed up emotions.
What made that leap from music to therapy?
Music has been a form of therapy for me. And therapy, actual therapy, has been a really helpful thing for me too. And I think that's always been in the back of my mind as like a possible thing to do with my life. And then it kind of just came together after we did like an October tour last year. I suddenly was thinking, you know what, I think I want to go back to school and become a therapist through that endeavor.
If you don't mind me asking, not to get too personal, how come you don't want potential patients to sort of hear your form of therapy? Do you think it just wouldn't be productive, or?
That's true. Viewing it as like, oh, here is what I used to do. Here's art therapy. That could be helpful. But there are definitely, I write completely from the heart and I don't censor anything except for when I'm on Radio K and I don't want to say the F word.
We appreciate it.
But besides that, it's like, yeah. I wouldn't want them to be pouring over my lyrics and knowing a little bit too much about my personal life.
Do you think sometimes that's either an issue in personal life or music, that ability to be kind of vulnerable and intimate?
Yeah, that is an issue. I think with some people, I'm perfectly fine, like my bandmates. I'm not trying to hide the lyrics from them or anything. But then having maybe other people that I work with coming to shows, I might be a little bit embarrassed, like, oh, here is a whole side of my life that you don't know about, but now I'm singing about it. Yeah, that's a hard thing to navigate, I think, as an artist.
Do you ever get nervous, Sam, about people listening to the music?
About people listening to the music? I don't necessarily try to, I mean, I try not to think about it, you know. I try, it's like almost kind of compartmentalizing, you know, your thoughts and emotions and, I guess when it comes to performing and writing music, trying to almost kind of like have some sort of, you know, veiled curtain between you and like who you perceive as being like your colleagues or your peers or someone, trying not to necessarily let them into the equation, you know. At least that's what I try to do. But when I think about it, you know, if I think about, you know, these people in my life, like listening to that song about my ex or something, it does, you know, there's that layer of like, that's a little bit weird. But I think in an ideal world, they should be two, you know, very separate and distinguishable things and like frames of mind, you know, when you're dealing with your peers and then when you're dealing with your music, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's almost like your really close friend is music.
Right. Unless you're writing music for your friends and your peers.
That is true.
Because I guess you can write music for anything and anyone, including yourself or other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then Catherine, what's it been like producing this album with, I'm going to be so bold to assume, friends? You all seem mm-hmm. pretty friendly, pretty close. What's that experience been like?
It's been awesome. I feel like I can really rely on all of them to help me bring visions to life. And then even the producer, Jeff, who is now playing drums in the band, he had a lot of great ideas. It just is a really comfortable space. I don't like feel nervous really going into the vocal booth. I feel nervous in terms of I really want to do this well. But I'm not like, oh, I don't want them to hear me sing. Yeah, it's very comfortable. It's really nice. And they're just all extremely good musicians. So that's been like, I just feel so blessed, like, to the extent that I'm like frightened at how lucky I got getting all these people to play with me.
And then where do you see the future for the band or yourself?
I think just trying out some new stuff. We've been writing a little bit more collaboratively lately. And for me, mm-hmm. sometimes that's even just a matter of like time constraints. If I'm doing a job and, you know, I'm in a relationship and I'm doing grad school, I don't always have time to like really flesh out songs more the way that I used to. So I think that's been an interesting new facet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we are unfortunately out of time, but thank you both so much for joining me. And for all of the listeners out there, you can check out Lunch Duchess in about a week at Mortimer's for their new album release. Their album is also available online. For now, though, we're going to get back to the music right here at Radio K, Real College Radio.